Greetings. My name is Mats, and I'm here at church in our radio station, and I'm cleaning up in our different computers that we have here in our radio station. And we do have a radio program called Living Hope. We have them on our website. It's icfarupapurten.se, or just Google ICF Malmo and you will find us. But I found some great radio programs that we did in the past, and one is from my dear friend Larry Blakesley, where he's talking about leaving a legacy. It's about discipleship in a way, between a father and his children. So I would love for you to listen to that here right now. So please welcome Larry Blakesley, Living a Legacy.
It's really my hope that you'll receive something that I want to share with you today that's really on my heart, that I believe God's really put there a few years ago, that I want to communicate to you. It's about leaving a legacy. You know, we grow up, and as adults with children, we really understand that we want to leave something for our children to have after we're gone. It can be cars, it can be houses, you know, it can be money, it can be lots of different material things that are available. But I want to leave you with an idea of something that will last longer than any of those things that are material goods. But first, I want you to listen to a song from Andy Gullihorn. It's called Hand It Down. And so I think it starts off that message with thinking about what the words of this say and what the lyrics mean when Andy wrote and sang this song. So if we'll go ahead and listen to Hand It Down by Andy Gullihorn.
This baseball glove was broken in when your old man was just a kid, with backyard ball and fielding flags until they got lost in the night. But it's too small for my hand now. I think it's time to hand it down. And this beat up bike with rusted chrome and baseball cards in the spokes, where Mickey Mantle he clapped for me as your old man went down the street. But I'm too big to ride it now. Just one more thing I'm handing down. I'll give all I have to make it through this world we live in. 'Cause life is just a long line of passing down what we've been given. Well, your great-grandma, she first became a young boy's mom in 38, and with my old man on her knee, she began a legacy of giving love that don't run out. And I'm doing my best to hand it down.
Well, that was an interesting song. He talks about handing down baseball gloves and other things, material goods, but his heart's right about the music. But one thing that I want to encourage you is let's leave something for our children that isn't material. You know, we have a responsibility as parents to train up our children. It talks about it in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, we look at these words and we read the scriptures all the time, but sometimes we don't take them to heart. We get busy like everyone else. We're trying to get through our day, our crises, our opportunities, and our challenges. But the reality is God's word's real and it's alive, and every word is written down really to be a blessing to us and to be a blessing to others. And we have an opportunity to train our children up in the way of God and have them develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's really, really important as parents to do this, to take this time to do it. Yes, I certainly understand. I have two adult sons, and there was times when I just, when they were little, that I just ran out of time during the day. It was hard enough getting my own devotion time in during the day without having to try to teach my children this. And I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't do that. I, just a regular everyday believer that went to church. Loved God, came to that later on in life, but was thankful for every minute once I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If we don't have an opportunity to do the same thing for our children, we're really missing something here. And the reality is, no one is going to know that until you're dead, until you're gone. And the other part of this is, we don't have an opportunity that comes but once in our lifetime. Once we're gone, if we haven't taught our children about Jesus Christ, about the Word, about having a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father, then we really have been negligent in some of the things we've done. I know it's important to provide for them, to give them food, to give them housing, to give them an education. All these things are important. It's what God expects from us. There's no doubt about that. And I take nothing away from any of those things. But He also expects us, like it says in Proverbs, to teach them, to show them who God is, to show them that we have a loving Heavenly Father. You know, when we do that, it's amazing how that opens up. When our children start to see us give our time to God, not only just on Sunday, but our private devotion time, leading our family in prayer during the week sometime, maybe daily, blessing our kids when they go to bed at night, praying for them and praying for their issues, it leaves an indelible mark in their heart and in their spirit. It's something that the Holy Ghost can really take and use in a very, very big way. If we don't do it, it just doesn't get done. It's just like anything else. It just gets slipped to the bottom of the list, and it's forgotten. And it's really not one of the things that somebody's going to bring up and say, hey, you should have done this. The Holy Ghost may touch your heart about it, and you may ignore Him. But the reality is, no one's going to harp on you. No one's going to get in your face about it, because it's not always on the highest level of priorities in our lives. But it should be. Because like I said earlier, you know, we can leave them cars and houses and money and all kinds of different things. But the reality is, when you're gone, what are they really going to remember you by? You know, our children, if we don't train them in the foundations of the Word and biblical principles, you know, we're really negligent, because there's so much out in the world that's going on. There's so many other influences that are going on. You know, they can hear anything they want from the internet. They can see anything they want from the internet. They can get it from their friends at school. They can get it from the street. Unfortunately, there's kids out there doing drugs. They're happy to influence your children to take drugs or do any number of other things. So if we're not right in there giving them the basic principles of life and a foundation to build on that is a relationship with God based on His Word, the Bible, then really we're being negligent. There's no other way to put it. I don't want to be harsh about it. And this world of being politically correct and being almost timid about certain things, we really have to stand up and understand that we have a responsibility that God gave us when those children were born to us. When we became parents, lots of things changed in our lives. But the biggest thing we found out was not only food and clothing and housing, but a spiritual responsibility to bring them up in the Lord. But you know what? We can get real religious about certain things, and that's not God's plan either. God is a God of relationship. And this is the thing that our children need to see in us. I get a chance to minister to men all the time, here in Europe, in America, and a little bit in Asia. And one of the things that men usually fall back on is they just don't feel qualified to do that. They don't feel like they've had an education in this area, that they need to go to Bible school. They need to have a doctorate in divinity or something like that. And that couldn't be farthest from the truth. It's certainly not God's idea. There's no question about that. He can give us so much information if we're open and ask, just through his word, just through prayer, that it's absolutely amazing how he does this. So it's one of those things as men, and I'm speaking to men primarily right now, is, you know, put this away. Don't let the enemy rob you of the opportunity to nurture your children in a new way and give them an opportunity to find the love that God has for them and how real it is and how tangible that relationship can be. And yes, you know what? You're going to find that out too. And if you haven't found that already, then I encourage you to start there first, you know, and do this at the same time with your children. There's a thing that goes on then that God just seizes every opportunity to minister to you and to your children and to your wife in a household that is just incredible. But we have to open that door. You know, our relationship with God, and this is what I want you to show with your children, is just like any other relationship we have down on earth. Now, you know, we get caught up, well, he's out there somewhere, you know, he's out in the universe and he sees everything, knows everything, and he does all those things. But sometimes it's hard to realize how tangible he really is. And the only way that becomes real is when you spend time with him. And spending time with him, yes, it's in the word. You need to read the scriptures every day if you can. At least get some time in. It doesn't have to read, it doesn't have to be, you know, a whole book in the New Testament. It just needs to spend some time, some quiet time. Set 10 minutes aside every day to do this. And you'll find out that this relationship starts to build, you know, with God, just like it would with any other human being here on earth. You know, we don't have a good relationship with our or with our spouses and with our neighbors and our work co-workers if we don't spend time with them. We manage to find times to do that, but we usually don't find time to spend it with God. I don't mean to be so harsh about it, but it's just a reality. If we don't invest in this relationship, we'll get nothing out of it. If we get nothing out of it, we've got nothing to share with our children, and our children have no example to go on. And that's where it really falls apart, because not only is this generation dealt with incorrectly, their generation is also going to be missing this opportunity to see God in a real, true, loving sense. So what you can do with your children now is actually sit down with them. You know, take the time to read the Word. They're not, especially the little ones, you can read to them at bedtime. You can take a few minutes out of your day when it's quiet time for them, when they're getting ready to settle down, maybe quiet time for you. Just forget about 10 minutes worth of television for a little bit or 10 minutes worth of something else. And just take that time to spend with them on a one-on-one basis. You can do it as a group, you know, if you have a number of children, or you can do it one-on-one. During that time, too, take an opportunity to hear what they're saying about school, about how their life is going. I don't care if they're small or large. They all have something to say. They all have issues. They all have things going on, and they all have peer pressure going on. This is an incredible time that you have, not only to pray with them and to show them how much you care, but to really hear what the issues are that they're dealing with in school. What are their challenges, right, that's going on in their lives immediately? And during this time, this is a time that you can pray with them for those opportunities. If they have big tests coming up, pray with them about it. The Holy Ghost will help you. You know, God looks at us as children also, and he talks about it in his word about coming to him as a child. Well, we think when we're 30, 40 years old that, well, I'm not a child any longer, but in God's perspective, you're always his child. And you know what? As you get older and you have your children and they're adults, they're always going to be your child, and you're going to see them, your children, as small, even if they're large and have their own children. I guess it's part grandfather that's inside of me that's talking, but the reality is you never are too old for your parents. And you'll never change that relationship, if you will. So I really would encourage you, take the time to spend with them sometime during the day, sometime during the week, maybe even designate a time that you sit down as a family and gather up and read the Word together as a family. And it'll be the most valuable time that you can have with them. So it isn't just a matter of leaving houses and cars, and even like Andy had sung about leaving a baseball mitt. And it was also leaving love. and something that your children will just be enamored with and just embellished with in their lives forever. We're really hoping that there's an opportunity that you'll take to do that. And I just encourage you to do that. You'll see more of that come to fruit as they grow older and as they start doing it with their children. But right now, I'd like to take up a piece of music that is The God of My Fathers by Andrew Peterson. And I think there's a message in it for all of us here.
God of my fathers, huddled in the harbor, every man an ocean from his home. Their captors could not keep him when they heard the drums of freedom, the dream of a kingdom in a land they've never known. God of my fathers, strangers in this country, pilgrims on these dusty roads, across the great plains and the bellies of the steel trains, to stake a new claim in that wilderness of hope. And like my fathers, I am looking for a home. I'm looking for a home beyond the sea. So be my God and guide me till I lie beneath these hills. And let the great God of my fathers be the great God of my children still. God of my grandfathers, gone these many years now. Yes, they're shining like the sun, and I envision them grinning at the finish, and they smile, and they smile, 'cause they love to see me run. Oh, like my fathers, I am looking for a home. I'm looking for a home beyond the sea. So be my God and guide me till I lie beneath these hills. And let the great God of my fathers be the great God of my children still. Stars and counting sand, little feet and little hands, we're counting joys. We pray you'll know them as you knew us when you wove us, as you hold us, hold them, please hold them. Like their father, they are looking for a home, looking for a home beyond the sea. So be their God and guide them till they lie beneath these hills. And let the great God of their father be the great God of their children. Let the great God of my fathers be the great God of my children still.
Well, welcome back. Interesting song, huh? Yeah, we are still talking about leaving a legacy. And, you know, one of the things I do want to touch on is the fact that, you know, in Matthew 19:14, Jesus talked about not having kept the kids away from him. You know, the kids wanted to run up, get on his lap, play with him. We've seen all the pictures that look like that. And his disciples, his friends, you know, were keeping the kids back. They were preventing the kids from coming up to him, thinking, hey, he's the master, leave him alone. He didn't have time for this, you know, Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it, for nowadays? But the reality was that wasn't Jesus' heart at all. He actually rebuked his best friends and said, no, you know, let them come up to me. And I really propose to you a different way to look at this. If you're not introducing your children to Jesus on a regular basis, you're no different than his disciples that are preventing your kids from meeting Jesus. And there's no other way to say it. You know, Jesus wants to have a relationship not only with you, but your children. And if you're preventing that from happening by not helping them understand the word, not praying with them, not spending some time with them, then you're really no different than his disciples that were preventing him to come up to Jesus when they were sitting around. So I propose to you that there's a real opportunity here and a real positive effect of that, because God really will take this opportunity to minister to everybody in your family during this period of time. And it's very, very important to do that. You know, in Luke 1:17, it talks about that the hearts of the fathers are going to return to the children and vice versa. And I really think during this time that we live in, that this is really an important aspect of where we're going. I think we've had plenty of times when our parents, my dad in particular, they weren't trained on how in parenting, if you will. And we're a lot smarter in certain areas now in the natural, but we also have to be smarter in the spiritual also. We really do have to take an opportunity to do the same things in the spirit realm as we do in the natural. And we're negligent if we're not, but the positives outweigh any of that. The other thing that I just do want to touch on is something that a lot of people don't realize. I was a children's pastor for a number of years. One of the things I saw with my children and on Sunday school was the fact that some of these kids really, really understood and had a deep relationship with God. They got it on their own. They got it from their parents. You know, they were ministered to. Hopefully they got some from Sunday school as well. But the reality is we as parents sometimes don't recognize, and parents or adults even, don't recognize the fact that there's a real gift in these children that God's put in them, that God put a calling and anointing in every child, of course, every adult. But it came right from their womb. It talks about that in a number of different places. And one of the things that when we do this, like in Luke 1:15, it says that he filled them with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. You know, there's some scriptures in Psalms as well that talk about this. And it's really important to understand that there is a gift and a calling in every child. And we have an opportunity to do that. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. And before thou canst come forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee and have appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. Yes, he was talking about Jeremiah, but really it's a general principle. You know, in Psalms 22:10, as I cast thee upon thee in from the womb, thou art my God since my mother bare me. And of course, the psalmist was saying that he knew that God had put something in him right from the beginning. So we need to capitalize on that. We need to take advantage of what God's already put in our children, you know, and assume the fact that, you know what, God will speak to them through the Holy Spirit at whatever level is necessary, just like he speaks to us. And if we spend the time in that relationship with him, he'll spend the time with us. If our children learn how to do this, it'll do the same thing. You know, I brought this message to a church recently, and it was interesting. One of the men got up in the middle of my message and kind of walked out, and it was actually one of the men was the pastor. So you get a little nervous when you're up in front and you're talking about something like this and you see the leader of the church leave. And I thought, okay, this is kind of interesting. And I kind of put it out of my mind because I still had a message to finish, and I was hoping that, you know, I wasn't hurting somebody's feelings, but the reality is the reality. And sometimes you just have to speak straight to this men's group and to each other as men. It turned out that after the service was done, he came back up, and he just gave me this huge bear hug, basically. What had ended up happening, and I didn't even bring it up because I wasn't sure where it was all going to go, to be honest with you. But he came up and he said that his dad had died when he was about 6 years old. And the only memory that he had was the fact that his dad, every Saturday, sat around the coffee table, or the kitchen table, if you will, with the other kids and the mom, and they basically read the word together. And he prayed for every one of their kids, his brothers, his siblings, and the wife at that time. And that's the only memory that he had of his dad at 6 years old, which is incredible that God would bring that up. I was honored that the Holy Spirit would put that in my heart, because really, when we're all gathered up in heaven with Jesus and we're all dying, and our body's down here next to in the grave or however it is, and your family's gathered around your gravestone, what are they going to remember about you? Are they going to remember the new car that you gave them, or the house and the money and those things? Or are they going to remember that how you led really a time of prayer and a time of understanding about relationship building with God, with every one of the children, individually and collectively? Are they going to see you as a leader of the house, as the priest in the family, or are they not? This is really your choice. And like I said, you don't have to have a doctorate in divinity in order to do this. All you have to do is have a willing heart and ask God to help you, and he'll walk you through this in every way. So just remember that. When you're gone, what are they going to remember? What are your children going to remember about you? This is a time you can change whatever is going to happen for the future right now, and right now is not too late. So I thank you for being here with me today. I really appreciate having the opportunity to share with you. I hope this message touches your heart, and I really believe that God will do something with this, and the Holy Spirit will minister to you in a different way. This has been Europa Porten. We're located, the church is located at Stadengaten 25, next to the football stadium, and the number 34 bus stop at the Coop. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30, and we'd love to have you come by. We bless you, we think the best for you, and God bless you in everything that you do. Touch your child today by praying with them and hearing their heart and asking them what they can do for you and what you can do for them. We love you. God bless.